In this video, we are going to discuss analyzing the NFT market, what to look for, and how to inform your market participation. As usual, nothing in this video is financial advice. We are not financial advisors. The NFT space is incredibly risky, so always do your own research. Gentlemen, two avid market participants, two different styles. I'd love to know how you guys look at the market and how you actually analyze what moves to make.
Yeah. Hey, Pio. It's good to be back. What's up, Easy? It's good to be on here with you. I guess in general, you know, I would kind of classify myself as somebody who looks for like a little bit of volume and maybe a little bit of momentum. I try to, I guess, gauge a little bit of like hype behind stuff and work through trades that way. And I've started trying to look through, you know, some of the stuff that you and I have talked about, especially with like kind of like this project, trying to really gauge, you know, a good entry, trying to build some fundamentals behind something, and then trying to use some of the tools that are out there to kind of understand where people are listing, where volume's coming from, or, you know, when listing volume kind of like appears, and then try to make your moves around that. But that's kind of how I look at it, at least.
So Wappy, we never got to do the kind of deep dive on Bapediverse, but you and me were just like two amigos in this one because it was so damn volatile. It was like heinously volatile. I bought in the initial pump, I bought in at like 0.8 and it just took a nosedive to 0.38 and chopped so hard. It was just such a weird, volatile drop. We speculated, you know, sneaker kids using bots. We speculated, you know, the fact that it is Bape, but it wasn't super obvious that it was Bape. And it almost did at the very beginning feel like it could have been fake. Do you remember anything else that like kind of went into this one? Because you and me were on this like a hawk. We were using your NFT nerds to analyze it. Every night it would rip, if you remember, at like 9 p.m. on, you'd see the volume go nuts. And the volume was pretty gnarly, like more or less the whole time. And you could have traded it between like 0.4 and 0.8 about 50 different times, given how volatile it was.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, this got on my radar long before the project like launched. I remember they kind of like launched a Discord, and then, you know, it was one of those things that just got like 50,000 followers like instantly and like out of nowhere. And then it like went under the radar for a while. I think I even left the Discord because I don't think I got like a whitelist spot or anything. And then it like launched. And so it was on my radar. I knew it was real Bape. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm a streetwear, like, you know,
aficionado
or anything like that. Like, yeah, I mean, like I know like some of the big brands, but like, I don't know all the inner workings of like who's still cool and who's not cool, but like, Bape, I know, is like a Japanese headquartered brand. And I don't know. I just know that like it's got like a lot of hype behind it. You know, like Lil Wayne used to wear this stuff. And I don't know if it's still relevant today. I guess that's up for like debate, but
definitely still relevant.
Definitely still relevant. There was a trade here. I knew that at least. Like that much I knew.
Yeah. And you know, you bought a bunch of them at like, you know, 0.6 and below. I think you even might have sized in a little bit at like 0.8 or 0.9 once we really saw that heavy volume. And this one topped out at like 2.5, which was crazy. And you and me sold earlier than that. It is what it is. But obviously it was still a big guap, especially for you. It was a massive guap. So what sort of analysis did you pay attention to? You paid attention to the volume. You paid attention to the listings. I remember that the listing count was super, super low. And we had a long, like, you know, week long, you know, stretch before reveal. What else did you look at in this one?
So I think you said it earlier, there was something where I don't remember what exactly happened, but I think people somehow were able to get like multiple mints through this, or somebody gamed like the whitelist setup or something like that. So there were like, I think some like kind of like sneaker kid kind of like shenanigans going on. So
there minting was, like, and flipping. Volume. Yeah, minting,
yeah,
and flipping.
There was that volume, yeah, that you had to like work through, and that set like floors. And when you go to some of these like tools, like you and I were looking at like NFT nerds, you know, you can see kind of like where people have bricked out floors, and that's kind of like your support and resistance levels, at least. And so like we had to work through that volume, and that gave like a couple days to accumulate at these like 0.4, 0.6, 0.8 levels that you had just mentioned. So I was buying some there and just kind of anticipating that we'd work through this sneaker kid like volume, and then, you know, you'd get in the hands of people who wanted to see the Bape more or less at the end. It had a longer reveal time, so that had it going for it. NFT nerds is a good thing and a bad thing because it gives you what I call like full market visibility. So like when OpenSea goes down, if the OpenSea API is not down, you still see like sales going through and people listing. And they're also connected to like Gem and Genie. So you see when people are like sweeping. So it was one of those things like there was always going to be like some constant buying pressure, but it just kept being these same accounts that kept like bricking these floors that they would set. And you could just kind of like see how many, these things these guys have left or if they're transferring more into their wallets. And I just kind of like felt like we could take off. So I think like I don't know, I bought probably like 10 to 15 of them over total and started to scale out of them probably from like that 0.8 to like 1.5, 1.6 area. So I don't think Easy said this on this show yet, but like he said it right before we started this that like, I would love to always be like maximizing profits, but like I'm trying to make sure more of my trades are green than they are red or that I'm getting good returns on stuff. And so when I started getting close to that like 1 ETH return on any of the BAPE, that's when I wanted to like start to size out of the trade. And if I had really stayed in it for like a couple more days, like there was probably another ETH per item that I've like left on the table. But this was still a good trade for me. It was just I size out as I start to rise up. And I've started to try not to buy like a ridiculous amount of things because there's a lot of people who will just run to undercut you and it makes it harder
The
to
sprint
get
for the
through
bottom.
inventory.
That's a big thing. And I think what you brought up a good point there too. Like you're not always diving directly into just sweep immediately right when you're buying. Theo even talked about it. You had kind of moved around your entries, which I think a lot of people don't do and should really start to consider. Like you're never gonna time the bottom, you're never gonna time the top every single time. So if you scale in and out of plays that you have high conviction on, it tends to let you at least get one at the top and on that kind of moving scale so that you can actually try to drive a better optimization of that exit. As well as still limiting like selling everything at floor or attacking the floor. I've recently even been kind of listing things immediately after I buy them at the exit price that I think is realistic. And then you can always kind of adjust that accordingly. Obviously with SOL, it's a little bit easier. With ETH, you can only go lower. You can't raise that price, which it makes it a little bit tough without delisting. But these things too, like, I don't know about you guys, but man, these look so bad. Like,
There
and
was
I knew
just
they were
a.
going to look bad, so that was another reason to try to make sure we sold them.
Yeah, we forgot about that. Yeah, so that's the thing is like, so this was, there was so much weird stuff with this, but it was confirmed BAPE. And BAPE
Yeah.
is, it is what it, I
It's
mean,
still
look at.
relevant. They still have
Exactly.
new shoes kicking off. Like a lot of spots still have like BAPE collabs. Like my laptop case is a BAPE like bag, protective sleeve bag thing for it. I've always loved the brand. It's crazy. It's like I never expected them to get into the NFT space. And I am disappointed with how poorly they created their NFT.
Well, I feel like they just said you do it, which I think is it just it's a little disappointing for me. But yeah, I mean that was one thing that me and Wappy knew the whole time is like we will not hold this through reveal. Like just can't. You they basically put us in a position where you just can't hold it through reveal. But we'll see what happens with it. I feel like a much better example of this is what me and Easy were talking about on the morning show today, which we bought into. This is basically an identical kind of
Oh, let's
idea.
go.
Oh,
What is? Let's go. It's moving.
it's not gonna go lower than like 0.75 ETH. You can probably put out some offers because it's a low liquidity project. But this one is an example where they actually did it the right way. So yeah, it looks like it actually moved a lot today. We talked about it extensively on the morning show, and
Well, they
I
had their
always.
first AMA last night. So I do think that played into it. I listened to the recording, and it was nice to actually hear a team that, like, when teams get peppered with questions like, what about the floor price? What about the floor price? This team actually handled it well. They were like, listen, we don't care about the floor price. Like, let people exit when they want to. We have a plan for this. We've been working on it for a year and a half. Let's make something out of it. So this, and I didn't mean to steal your thunder there, Pio, but like this project was one I've been really excited for. And to be honest, it pumped to 2.5 ETH pre-reveal. And I was like, I'm priced out of making an entry here. Like, I'm not buying this speculative play at 2.5 ETH. It could run to 10. Let's see what that reveal does. And it tanked after reveal, all the way down to like 0.6, 0.7. And that's when I texted you and we actually talked real quick. And I was like, hey, what do you think about this? Like, we might want to make a move here. This is a good price entry, especially for a 0.5 mint, 500 supply from a very niche music space, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so Wappy, this is one I wanted to bring to your attention. This is like one where if we all bought like four of these or something and basically had 12 out of the 500, like that makes a big impact, right? And so this is a 500 supply, you know, by design. It was only a half ETH mint. It's by someone who is, you know, the best music video director, literally. And that really is saying something, because the way that this kid, because he's 25 years old now, and he's basically been famous for like 6-7 years at least. I wouldn't be surprised if he had like a big video when he was 17. He's effectively a phenom in his field, and it's a creative field, and apparently is genuinely interested in doing NFTs. So think about that Bape thing where they basically just gave it to some Instagram guys to make some shitty artwork for Bape. This guy actually is interested, from what I can tell, in actually doing it right. And they have like a 5 or 6 person team or something like that. Like the AMA had like a legit set of team members. They played music at the beginning. It was like well run. They're doing it every week on Twitter Spaces. I was impressed for sure. And I'd already bought in at that point. It made me feel better about my buy-in. And I just feel like this could, like Speculator made a joke, because I said that this could be the next V Friends or the Proof of the music industry. And Speculator was like, I'd feel better if they were calling it that and not just you calling it that. I was like, you got a point there. But Wappy, I know Easy mentioned this to you. Do you have any kind of thoughts on how you would analyze this as someone that maybe isn't intimately familiar with the creator?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to understand what this is a little bit more, because Easy messaged me the other day, because I got on the show the other day, and I think he brought it up for probably the first time the other day. I think it had just minted or something like that. And I heard him talk about it and kind of give, like, he had known who was the guy
Cole
named
Bennett.
Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had known Cole before NFTs, you know. So this wasn't just like, you know, just popping up on his radar because it's some like NFT person, famous person who's like not famous in real life. So like he brought it up to me, but like I just didn't really fully get it. So I've like looked at it a couple times and like looked at the floor, and I saw the floor didn't like really move like earlier today, but now it's looking like it's moving, or it's like people are buying some slightly more premium ones. I think they look good. And then when I looked at like, they had some announcement, I think, about like what they're doing for like a summer festival. And if you go look at that, there's big names on there. Like, I think
this is their like fifth year of doing it. Post Malone headline, Young Thug and Gunna up there. So like, if you like hip hop, any modern hip hop is going to be there. Like Yachty's there every year. They just got a bunch of great names. Like the guy is plugged into the space.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's something here. I guess I need to look at this a little like closer to understand it. Cause like a 500 collection is a different thing to analyze than like what we analyze most of the time. So as far as like you bringing up the idea of like each of us goes and buys like 3 or 4 of them, we might make money that way. But I think that's a bit of a risky trade compared to like doing that on like a 10K collection, just because I don't know what kind of like exit liquidity there is here. You're really banking on there being demand for this kind of stuff. And some of this stuff, like I go back to, could I go to this music festival for $3,000 or less? Because if I can, then maybe I should just cash out an ETH and go to it. But if like the VIP experience I get from this, or like the lifetime of whatever you're going to get from this, is something that you're interested in, maybe this is a utility play for you. But as far as a trade goes, I think this is like a risky trade, or this needs to be like a medium or longer term trade, which probably means you're holding it for more than like a month to like 3 months.
100%. 100%. Barring some like unusual rip, 100%, you got to hold this for a while. They're going to do like the V Friends style airdrop of the tickets to the event. And this summer.
Oh, so you could resell it?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can't
sell the ticket. I like that kind of stuff if that's their plan.
And the thing is,
that's good utility, because you can not go to stuff and then still reap some reward.
You can cut your cost basis down almost immediately. Which that's the nice part. It's also too, like, you brought up a very good point. Like, this is so different trading than a 10K, and you have to understand that. A 500 supply and with almost an 80% unique holder ratio, it's going to go one of two ways. Either we see zero liquidity and this price stays flat, or we either see a mass exit or mass buy, you know, and that's going to cause massive price action in a short time frame. To your point, it's a longer swing trade here, because it's the fact that like, liquidity is not constant on it. You see multiple hours without volume. You have to also understand, like, on announcement pumps, that's the only time that this is going to catch that volume. There has to be something kind of brewing to really push this one way or another, especially with the high unique ratio and the kind of low supply. There's not any of that staking stuff. There's none of this like breeding stuff with other projects. And it's just not going to move like a traditional 10K because a lot of people are not in it.
Yeah, 100%. And like, you know, the bull case is that this is like the proof for the vFriends of the music industry, and this creator and entity is the first one that breaks through and shows that a music industry NFT can absolutely rip. You know, if rappers start buying this, if high net worth individuals in the music space start buying this, that's the full bull case, and it would have like a gnarly floor of like 5 or 10 ETH easily. Like that, something like this can go to that easily with buy pressure. The bear
So let
case.
me ask you this. Is this something that like I would buy and maybe I'm gonna get to go to cool parties at NFT NYC and Basel and all that other stuff that we seem to be rotating through?
If they do it right, if they crush it. So the bear case is they don't know how to do Web3. It's not that important compared to the other business, considering he literally puts out videos with the biggest rappers every on a monthly basis. And he's an artist at the end of the day. That's his art form. And the bear case is nothing ends up happening. The thing is that FaZe Banks is on board. They've been working on this for over a year. And the Web3 guy who ran the space, who's like the community manager, did sound like he understands Web3, and I went on stage and like asked questions because I got like one ETH in the game on this, so I need to know, you know, like I need to know what the hell's going on. And I recommended the ticket thing, the vFriend style ticket thing, and they're like, oh no, we're gonna do that so that if you don't go, you can still sell it. I'm like, beautiful, sounds great. And then he said that Cole has been like orange pilled or whatever you want to call it into Web3, and that he's into it. The thing is, it's just tough with these LA music industry people. No offense if you're an LA music industry person, but I just know these people firsthand, and it's like, oh, it's just tough. They're too busy going to cool events and parties to be at home on the computer and on Discord or on OpenSea trading NFTs. So it's harder for them to get deeply ingrained with the culture. But if you have someone like FaZe Banks in your circle and he really gives you a very good understanding of why you benefit from going into the NFT space, why you're basically the first of your kind if you're Coletherium, and why this is an insane opportunity, because it really is for someone like this, like Easy Knows. It really is, but it's risky AF because you just know if you don't know if these LA music peeps are going to really do it right, you know?
I mean, I think it's got going for it. It's a real name attached to it, though. And, you know, I'm betting on that more than just kind of like these anonymous projects that pop up. And, you know, maybe this is the trial of the 500, and they're going to figure out if they can do well with this, that there's going to be a secondary collection. And then it goes to kind of what you said, PO, of this being like a proof. So it's a small starter community, and then they'll grow it. But I mean, one of the proof guys, I think it was Ryan, I started doing some research into Kevin Rose and, you know, the other guys there, because I've known the Kevin Rose name, but I've never really followed him super closely. So started to try to figure out more of like if the Moonbirds are going to be worth trying to really pursue and at what price they are for me. But you come across a video where I think it's like Kevin and Ryan from a couple days. It's within the past month they did the video. And I think Ryan like had a holy shit moment where he was listening to something and like pulled his car over. And, you know, it was just so mind blowing to him, like some of the things that he was thinking he could do with NFTs, that he called up Kevin and was like, I want to work for you. And so these are guys who like don't need to be doing this, don't need money. And this is probably the case for Cole and this crew, which is they have other ways that they could be making money, but they had this kind of like epiphany of we could do some cool stuff with this. So I do think that there will be a way for them to do something with this and drive value into it. I just think that like if you're buying this to flip it for like an ETH tomorrow, I don't know. I think
No
this is a
shot.
buy and hold it for like a longer term kind of thing. And you're betting on some docs people who have some like real business experience, and I think that's where you should be putting bets right now, but understand it's a longer term thing.
Absolutely. And easy. Do you agree with this? That this one, so you look at this, and then a similar project with the same floor would be Premint, right? Not a similar project, but a similar floor is Premint. I think Premint has a way higher probability to go to 2.5 ETH than this does, but this has a higher probability to go to 10 ETH, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think absolutely. Like, that's the big thing. Like, this thing has the potential to just rip because of the low supply and what that value is. I said it this morning too. Like, 500 people can fit into a small venue, can fit into their headquarters, can fit into wherever you want to name it. But 500 is such a low supply that you can do a lot of really cool things. And it's not like we've seen some of these other projects that are launching a 10K because they want to raise 60, 70, $80 million to do things with those funds. I mean, they got what, 500 times half an ETH, 250 ETH for this. They could have sold this as a 10K and done so much more, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't even clear a million. That is unheard of. Unheard of in the NFT space. You didn't clear a million on your primary sale and you have a million. He has a million followers on Twitter. So a guy with a million followers on Twitter elected to not clear a million in the primary sale. Shit, I never even really like put two and two together on that. Bravo, Cole Bennett. Bravo, man. That's kind of crazy. So let's move on from this one. We want to talk about Dolce and Gabbana, right? Dolce and Gabbana?
Yeah, this, I don't know if Easy's following this one. This is one I'm following. So
I've been watching it. I got turned off with the crazy ETH requirement in the wallet.
Two and a half.
Like, okay. There was two different ones. There was, I forgot what the first one was. It was either like EPO said, I think like 2.5 or 3 ETH, or it was like 1.2, and then there was a 20.
Yeah, but the 20 one I saw, I was like, damn, you have to throw 50 racks into a wallet and just be cool with it? Just wait?
Yeah. So
that's pretty crazy.
I don't know. Have you guys listened to the Twitter spaces for them at all?
The Dolce & Gabbana?
Team?
No. I listened to the one yesterday, was it? Was it yesterday or Saturday? They had one this weekend that I listened to the recording of.
Yeah, so the team behind it, I'll just say, I think is a good team, and I think they're doing almost everything the right way, and I think a lot more team should like look at them for this because they're being very transparent about how things are going to work and what your expectations should be once you buy one of these things, both in terms of like when the reveal is going to happen, how the reveal is going to happen, and then what you actually get in terms of utility out of the item. So it's not this, hey, spend 2 ETH and who knows what you're going to get in 3 months, you know, kind of a thing. And we've seen this, like I'm going to give Gucci a little bit of shade because you got it up. Like we bought 1 ETH worth of Gucci and we don't really know what it gets us besides like a Gucci 8, which is cool, but arguably it's not worth $3,000 yet. You know, Adidas, kind of the same thing, has issued something and it's been months and, you know, presumably they're doing something with Bored Ape, but like we don't have anything from it. And so it's just kind of, and you don't really know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get a tracksuit and this other stuff, but there's no timeline on it really yet. You know, it's taking quite a bit of time. So Dolce & Gabbana has said, you know, there are three tiers of boxes. It comes with a platinum, a gold, and then a black. And platinum, most rare, gold, second, and the black, the most common. They're all going to give you, like, I think, items, both in metaverse and real life. And then as you scale up, they're going to give you more. They're going to give you metaverse experiences as well as in real life experiences. And they've said like outright, that's going to include going to things that like Basel and NFT NYC and some of the other things that people go to.
So Wappy, you want to go to the sophisticated events at Art Basel. You want to be brushing elbows with the people that are at the Met Gala later in the year, you know?
Well, I want the platinum box because they've teased that you're going to be able to go to Italy and get access to things that like not even tourists or locals can get access to. And it's going to be like the couture, like, you know, special experience. So like,
I'm just picturing you drinking martinis, man, like just having some espresso
with a little bit of like couture around, you know? So I just think that they're setting a good expectation of what you're going to be able to buy and get out of this. And part of what I'm looking for in some of the things that I own and hold for like a longer time is I want to be able to do things at these events that I go to. And if I'm going to come up to NFT NYC to like see some of you guys in person, yep, I want to go to a Nifty Portal event. I want to go to a Gucci event. I want to go to a Doodles event. I want to go to everything that I can go to because I own high value assets. Like, let's not pretend 1 ETH is not a lot of money. Like if I paid $3,000 to join a social club, like I want to go to some of those events.
Yep. And
I think that what Dolce & Gabbana is promising is like, I don't know if that's the brand that I most identify with in the luxury space, but they're, I think, setting a standard that I think a lot of other luxury brands need to look to and kind of acknowledge like, hey, we're going to charge you guys like $3,000-$4,000 for something. We're going to be upfront with what's coming with it.
Yeah. And Vicky just said she thought the Dolce & Gabbana was our event. It's like, you know, you're almost right, Vicky. It's basically going to be the same thing. No, I'm just kidding. So yeah, I mean, look, we were talking about fashion actually today on Instagram Live with Mariano Di Vaio, who listens to our Twitter show, and he's like a model and has his own like fashion lines and stuff like that. And what I was saying is, you know, I'm really I have like high expectations for the Dolce Gabbanas, the Gucci's, and these different fashion brands, Rolex for sure, because think about it. Dolce & Gabbana can make a bag or make a watch or make something, and they make it for like one price, and then they sell it for what I think is probably like a 10x profit. I don't think that's like a big secret, right? Is that the amount that it costs for them to make these things is a lot less than what they actually end up selling them for. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with that, but what they can do is, so this mint price is 1.2 Ethereum. Do we know the supply on this?
I think it's a 10K.
Okay, so it's a 10K times 1.2 Ethereum. That's 12,000 Ethereum. That is $37.2 million. So that's a good amount of money, right? You can then create value for people by airdropping. You could airdrop random rarity stuff where the rarest stuff is like a Dolce & Gabbana bag or a watch, and the cheapest, the least rare stuff is like a pair of socks. And you can just do that right off the bat. Everybody gets something. And basically allude to the idea that there's going to be more stuff like this and in real life utility and blah, 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 and XYZ. And put a 10% resale royalty on it. Who cares? Like, incentivize people to hold the thing, and the people are still going to sell it. There's always going to be secondary market volume. There's going to be secondary market volume on those airdrops that you do. I really expect fashion, premium fashion brands that already have crazy demand globally from customers to absolutely crush the NFT space. Like, it is easy for you to crush the NFT space if you just get some Web3 people in your corner.
Yeah, I mean, and they're going to be airdropping stuff to people. They promise real physical items. So it's like, whether or not you can get your 1.2 value out of it, that's up for you to decide. But like, they're going to be giving stuff. And I think Jesse even brought it up today. Like, some of these premium brands should be offering like free mints in terms of the gas, in terms of you get it, or at least like refund it. So I don't know. I think that there's going to be able to do some cool stuff. I think that when you look at some of the stuff that's coming out in terms of merch, Dolce & Gabbana has promised like, this is not going to be a part of one of the lines that you could just walk into a store or go online and buy, or go into Saks and buy. This is going to be a separate line that they're doing just for this NFT collection. And when you look at some of that stuff, like, you know, if you want to go buy an original Bored Ape hoodie right now from like the first merch drop, it's expensive. And so some of this stuff, if it's got desire behind it, you can put it on StockX, and the real value that you're getting out of your NFT now is, yeah, Dolce & Gabbana might ship you a shirt, and maybe that shirt is worth $1,000, $2,000 on StockX, and that pays for like half the NFT, and you still get to go to all the experiences and get more airdrops and so on and so on and so on. So I don't know. I'm trying to bet on, my view is like, if somebody's actually going to deliver true value that's worth the value in USD out of some of these things that we're buying, it's probably going to be these bigger, more established brands, or these people who have real business experience that can drive value to you, like Cole giving you tickets to a festival every quarter, every year. Like, that's real utility. You can put a value on that, whatever you think that's worth.
Yeah, absolutely. And one last thing, it sounds like it's actually 5K, not 10K, whatever, same difference. But one comparison is, you can kind of look at a lot of the stuff that Gary Vee did for VFriends 1 and make comparisons to the new utility plays that are coming out. Man, VFriends 1 really covered a lot. It really did. And when you look at Gift Goat, if you bought Gift Goat at the time, I think USD value, it was like 6,000 or 8,000 bucks. People got airdropped like within 6 months, like $15,000 worth. And the value of the Gift Goat went up like, you know, I don't even know how many X, right? So it's about creating value with the things that you have access to already, right? And so it's not like, all right, I sold this NFT project, how do I create value now? You have to create value through what you already do. And so a person like Gary Vee, for example, he's already got value. He's got this big business. He's a public persona. He's a content creator. He's able to create value by giving access to him and giving access to entities he has relationships with, like valuable NFT artists, Drift, you know, these different people that put pieces into that collection. Easy. Any thoughts on this?
No, I mean, I think it's exactly kind of what we've been talking to, the fashion aspect. We're starting to see a lot of that too. I mean, got my Dead Fellas merch, you know, I'm excited for that from Giuseppe Zaletto, whatever the brand is. So, I mean, we're starting to see a lot more of it. I'm excited to see what these may look like, if they're going to go like the card route, utility style art, or if they do something that's like brand iconic. Like all these designer brands have that signature kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and like I think Gucci did a really good job with the way that they rolled that out, because it's more the clothing on existing projects. So it's I'm just excited to see really where it goes. I think physicals are something that drives the psychological and emotional attachment to items. Wappy's talking about IRL events, which drives that emotional attachment to an NFT. And that's kind of the biggest thing here. Like we're trading a lot of psychology. If a lot of people are interested in that project because of the memories associated to it, the likelihood for them to sell is much lower. So you provide good things to the holders and they're going to drive that value up. We saw it with Azuki. They had an unreleased Wiz Khalifa song play at their holders only event. And the next day it was a 32 ETH floor from 16. So it's like when you have those moments, people just love to be a part of that and want to be a part of that. So if you do go that premium route and get to go to Italy, Wappy, and you need a plus one, I think I know someone who can help you out.
And one thing is, Kurt just said, interesting. I can see access to experiences being relevant, but getting a shirt that if you don't like, you're going to have to go through the hassle of finding a way to sell it on another platform doesn't make sense. That's why they airdrop you an NFT and you can burn that for the shirt. You know what I mean, Kurt? Like Gary Vee didn't airdrop everybody physical tickets to VCon. He airdropped them an NFT that represents the ticket to VCon. You know what I'm saying, Kurt? Like, I hope that makes sense. Like, you're not getting a shirt in the mail. You're getting an NFT that says you can get this limited run shirt. If you want the shirt, you can redeem it. But the idea is someone else will want the shirt. So they'll buy that NFT off you, you know? And then you can also play the market, right? The supply squeeze. If an item is really hot, you look at 10KTF and you look at the materials that they airdrop to all the 10KTF holders. Some were consumable, some were reusable. Price discovery happened for different items. Like, I think the spool absolutely ripped. The thimble absolutely ripped. Like the thimble went from 0.15 to 1.5 or something. Took a little bit, but the point is the digital nature of NFTs allows people to get really creative. If you think about it in like a Web 2 way, it's hard to understand. But if you think about it in a Web 3, Gary V, V friends airdrop the ticket as an NFT, airdrop the shirt, airdrop the watch as an NFT, and let the market explode while the creators get a 10% royalty the whole way through. And I want to put this on record. I expect Dolce and Gabbana, Gucci, all these premium brands, Lyrical Lemonade too. I don't know what their resale fee is, but for all these premium brands, where it's like an actual utility play, I expect 10% royalty on all of these, plus the 2.5% OpenSea royalty. Wappy, easy. Do you get what I'm saying? When I say that 10% royalty is my expectation?
I mean, I hate high royalties. I was yelling about it earlier. I absolutely hate them. I'm like, fuck this royalty. This is a joke. But like, you're paying a premium for a luxury brand. We're going to see it. So I get where you're coming from with that. It's like they're going to take that, especially if they're going to utilize that for more real world stuff. So like, if you have a 10% fee and I can see you doing this awesome stuff in real life, it's more justified than just slapping a 10% royalty on something and we get a mutation and that's about it, you know? So it's like
Yeah.
those things are where I look for it.
Wabi,
I agree
any
with what you
thoughts?
were saying. Yeah, I agree with what you were saying, Pio. I mean, Kurt, I did say that you will resell stuff on a secondary platform because when something like a Doodles gives you an opportunity to buy merch on the first merch drop or the second merch drop, and Doodles has a brand where more people want into it than they own the NFT, because there's not a bunch of people out there who's going to buy a $30,000, $40,000 NFT for the shirt. But there are people who want to be a fan of the brand or who bought into the brand late who want like merch from drop one. You buy that merch, you accept that merch from these NFT projects because, like in Dolce and Gabbana's case, they're going to send you something. You're going to take it. You might not want it. You still take possession of it because you can go onto a StockX and resell it. So in the case where they don't send you an NFT where you can easily resell that, you still have something. It's up to you. You could take it to Goodwill, you could burn it, you could wear it, you could do whatever. But if you really want to like try to monetize on that shirt, eBay, StockX, there's places for that. I think where this is going to end up going, and I don't know if a lot of people are doing this yet, so maybe I'm giving away like the golden goose idea here, but brands will be able to realize, hey, we can sell inventory without ever actually having to do COGS. Like,
Yeah.
we don't need to go buy shirt and cotton and all this other stuff to make shirts and labor, because we can sell you all shirts and then you guys can decide when you want to redeem them.
Yep.
And we can say, hey, we're going to sell this shirt today. You can't even do anything with this for another 6 months. But when 6 months comes, now you guys can decide when you want to redeem it. They've just brought in revenue, given you guys a secondary market where they're collecting PO's 10% royalty, and they haven't even had to do anything in the real world yet. And it's still going to be a deliverable to you in the real world. You could take something like Rolex. Rolex is sold out like a year, multiple years in advance. Rolex doesn't want to start issuing everything as an NFT, but they might start to say 10% of our supply we're going to issue as an NFT. We're going to auction it off. It's going to fetch a premium to what you're going to be able to buy the Rolexes for, and then there's going to be a secondary market for it. So like this is where some of that's going to end up going, and that's real utility in Web3 and not just like people issuing another 10K PFP project that's going to turn into a TV show. Just kidding, it's never going to turn into a TV show.
Yeah, I love that. I love a Wappy take that's like super real and like it's like reflective of his advanced understanding of the market and like what brands promise or like what NFT projects promise. It's like it's a 10K collection that's going to be a TV show, except it's never going to be a TV show. I'm sorry, that just struck my that
But
hit my funny bone.
the secondary like sales on some of the stuff that we're talking about right now is another form of like revenue channels for these companies, and they don't have to produce a good yet, like you know.
And
And
I want to talk about that point. I was just laughing, but no, that point is so essential, and that's what you said right there is like, you know, these like super designer brands, like I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, you know, a watchmaker. You know, the watchmakers are fortunate because a lot of people do love super expensive watches, and you have that high end, like clothes, luxury clothes isn't that bad, you know, luxury shoes. But think about, I don't know, let's say there's like a sword making company, you know, they make like swords, right? And it's like, these are the best swords. They've been doing it Japanese steel since like the year 1400, right? Those companies don't have like recurring revenue the way NFT projects do. And if they get into the NFT space and they start to airdrop items, whether it's the sword or not, right? The secondary sales are no joke. Again, throw a 10% royalty on that thing. Once you have an asset that's being traded within a market and you are attracting speculators, you're attracting people that are trying to get money, and you also have a bunch of people that just get absolutely wrecked. The bottom line is every time those items change hands, you get a royalty. And I feel like that is not fully understood by a lot of these entities. And maybe it's starting to get understood by people like Cole Bennett, right? Because it's not like they came out Pump City, you know, pump it up with the Lyrical Lemonade thing. They kind of came out and were like, you know, if you want to get in here between 0.8 and 1.2 ETH, you can, you know, like it's not crazy Pump City. AJ Vaynerchuk, Vayner Sports Pass. Dude, you don't think Gary can just get on the on Twitter and start pumping the hell out of that thing? Like they're letting people get in right now. They did one announcement, but you know, I'm just actually really excited about what's going on in the NFT space right now. I'm like addicted to all these like Premint, Vayner Sports, Lyrical Lemonade, Dolce and Gabbana. Fuck it, like I'll get in on
Wow,
that.
so you finally are excited for projects that can actually deliver what they're talking about, huh?
I hope so.
Thought?
I hope so.
Crazy.
That's the consolidation phase I think we're in right now. Is the NFTs aren't dead, they're not close to being dead. The market is going to keep growing for many years as we keep adding people. But I think the kind of unrealistic expectations that we've set for ourselves are in some sort of a consolidation mode right now, and it's going to go back to people who can do real things. And that's, you know, whether you're happy or not with Vayner Sports is probably going to build itself into be something over the next years.
Yeah, like
So
what is the likelihood that the Vayner Sports NFTs are just like sitting at a 0.1 floor? Like, I don't. If you want to talk about limited downside, and full disclosure, I bought a bunch of them and I'm like continuing to buy them. Right now, I want to buy another Lyrical Lemonade thing, and I can't tell if I'm being an idiot. Like, I can't tell if I'm being a fanboy or like, you know, just wanting to own something cool, or if I'm like making a big brain move that's I'm later going to be in a spot to like sell the second one for 6 ETH and still have one. You know, that's kind of where I'm at. But I mean, look, VFriends 2 is coming out today. There's a lot of stuff that's requiring liquidity. I'd like to get in on this Dolce and Gabbana thing. There's a lot going on in the space right now, and prices might be inflated.
I think that's the story of April. There's a lot of things that are going to require liquidity that seem promising, and you in turn are seeing a lot of people kind of sitting on the sidelines. And then you got tax day. I don't know if that's actually impacting anybody right now or not, but
Well,
take
I
it
filed
into
for an
account.
extension.
Same.
Everyone's filing for an extension. No one wants, everyone's procrastinating doing their crypto taxes.
Let's not talk about it.
So
Please.
I'm gonna put I'm putting Wappy on the spot here. Ladies and gentlemen, I did not tell him that I was going to do this. But Wappy, I think that you should focus on making content, and my gut tells me that you don't want to. Let's talk about it.
I mean, I'm just a more naturally kind of like introverted person. So I think it's taken me a little bit of time to like get pulled out of this like cave where I've never really thought of myself as being somebody who could do a content producing kind of like role. So I think for me, my biggest thing is like, you know, I could talk to you guys for a little bit, and then am I going to get to a point where it's just me rambling and no one wants to like listen to me, or am I actually going to be talking about stuff that's going to be relevant? You know, maybe that's my challenge. That's maybe a challenge for me to find that. But I guess that's my concern is, you know, there's a giving the audience a little bit of Wappy keeps them intrigued, but giving them too much might turn them off.
Sure. I'm thinking more about like content that you make on your own, because I feel like, you know, you're fully immersed. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You're fully immersed in trading the NFT market. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, that's the primary thing like I focus on right now. And, you know, I have a side business that I've like am focusing on, but that's not like the main source of income. And then I've also started like doing a little bit of like teaching myself to code a little bit, because I think there is extreme value in being able to like build things in this space. So that's something I want to do for myself. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, I focus on kind of like what goes on in this space and day in, day out.
Yeah. I mean, my thought is just that people really value what you think and your opinion. And there's still so much room in the space for people to do content well. In my opinion, there's a lot of people that do content terribly. And I mean, if you go in like 90%+ of Twitter spaces and people are just like, yo, what up? And it's like, oh, I'm, you know, just woke up. I'm smoking a blunt. And it's like, dude,
appreciate
no one,
what you guys do.
Yeah.
Dude, if you heard the space Pio, it was on last night with the cart, and there were so many people just like that. Got up on stage, was like, appreciate what you do. Thanks. And that's it. That's it. And
yeah, the worst is when an artist is leading a space, and I'm not throwing shade at artists. If anything, I'm throwing shade at the people that then come on that space, when every like a line of like nine people just like compliment the artist over and over again. It's like no one listens to that. Like you don't watch that TV show, you know? So I feel like there's still room for someone like you, Wappy, to come in and host like a daily show, or host like a show 3 days a week, where you break down what you're doing, what you're seeing, and that would help build a bigger following. And also it would encourage other people to kind of mix it up and get in the mix with you. I just think that you have the talent to do it, and that a lot of people would be interested in that. And given how immersed you are in the NFT market and just participating in that, the way to, in my opinion, to sort of maximize that, unless, sure, if you build like a technology platform that's scalable and you make $200 million off of it, obviously that's a great option too. But content to me, especially now when you can just take your phone and do Twitter spaces without even a mic, without headphones, it just feels very accessible for you to be able to do that and scale, you know, scale an audience.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll think about like what I guess people would be interested to hear about from me, or like what I could like do day to day to kind of like translate that into content. Because I mean, I think I'm open to it. I think for me, a lot of like what I was into this space, like more of like last year, was trying to like educate and onboard people. And I think that's something that is still true to my heart, even though sometimes I get annoyed by the amateurness of this space. But that's something that I'd still like to be able to like do is and talk about. And just, you know, I like this space. I think this space is growing, and I want to be able to keep like networking through people. So this might be a good way to do that too. Just kind of like hosting kind of like that daily talk show format.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's your decision, man. I'm just saying I wanted to do this on air, catch you off guard with it without telling you beforehand and just, you know, talk about it real quick. I got to call out Anthony. Anthony said doing content is not a trophy. What the fuck does that even mean, Anthony? Enough of these. Like, what does that even mean, Anthony? I mean,
Anthony
look.
Wakes up and just FUDs, just drops the FUD and lets it fly.
Doing content is not a trophy. Who is that a shot at? I just do not understand, Anthony, why you got to do that, man. And look, you know how to get a rise out of me, Anthony. That's all I'm going to say. You know, Wappy, easy.
One thing to say. Oh, go ahead. M123123. You wanted to know if I was sitting on a medicine ball? No, I'm sitting on this luxury Rolls Royce of a chair.
This luxury Rolls Royce chair. You gotta respect some nice quality back support, you know?
I bought a nice chair during COVID, and I'm very proud of it.
Hell yeah. Well, gentlemen, any closing thoughts before we wrap?
No, I always love getting onto a nice situation with Wapi. So come hang out some more.
Thanks for having me on, PO. Good talking, Easy.
Absolutely. Anytime. Everyone, make sure you follow Wappy and Easy on Twitter, especially follow the shit out of Wappy, man. Wappy underscore ETH. Follow his ass right now. Then tweet at him and say you want him to do content. No, I'm just kidding. Don't bother him. Don't bug him and get in his timeline. I was kidding about that, but definitely follow him. Thanks for watching, everyone. See you guys next time.